everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Three Lost Global Podcast, episode 57. I'm your host, CJ. Alongside me today, we have Chrisos from Maverick Productions and Liam from Olympiacos Australia. Boys, how are we?
Very good after this morning, CJ. I just thought I'd show this scarf, actually, just to remind everyone where we won the Conference League last year. Just to remind everyone who we keep embarrassing every time we play them or play at their jippers. They're an absolute joke. We've absolutely killed them again. What?
Respect.
Me three, you two. Respect. No, me six, you nil. Respect.
Well, I think this morning really solidified what we already knew, that Olympiacos are the best Greek team in the league.
That makes sense, CJ. That's a really big call from you to say that we're the best Greek team in the league. You know, that's a massive call.
In the world, we're the best team in the world, mate.
That's it.
Best team in Europe. Best team in the world. Chris, how are we going, man? It's been a while since you've been on the show. Tell us what's been happening.
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, boys and girls. If there's any girls watching, that'd be cool. But not because I want them, but just because diversity. I'm cool. I'm good, thanks. I started a new job, so I've been busy with that, which is great. The content for Three Lost Global is going to be off the charts now with that. And, yeah, I'm doing good. Charity match finished. Liam came. Had probably man of the match performance for my team. By the way, killed it, played 80 minutes, played probably more than I did. Raised over $4,500 for the charity. So,
well done. Yeah. Well done, mate.
It's great.
Well done to everyone. Well done.
Timo Matic was an absolute superstar. Lovely man. Lovely guy, honestly.
They were all great guys, all the boys that came here.
Timo Matic was awesome, and Anthony Lukasio was awesome. All of the special guests are all coming back next year. So, yeah, just wanted to give a bit of a spiel on that. And if you haven't followed the page, Charity Match Official, Three Lost Global, Maverick Productions, Olympiacos Australia, follow all the pages because we're going global, boys. Hence, Three Lost Global.
That's the way, Chris. Congratulations on the money raise, and thank you for everyone that contributed to that beautiful, beautiful day.
CJ is going to be our coach in 2026. Here we go.
Medilly ball incoming, lads.
There's a lot of big things happening with CJ, but that's up to him if he wants to reveal any more.
Maybe towards the end. Chris's I think his call for diversity for the show might hint that he might have a friend listening in. So hello to that friend. apart from that, guys, Chris, do you want to tell us what was the full-time score for that charity match?
We didn't really talk about the score. The score was 5-0, but...
It's not about that, man. It's not about that. It's about charity, man.
Just like diversity on the show, I wanted to show diversity and let my brother win. So it was 3-3.
Well, Chris...
We have a reason for
that. What does that have to do with diversity?
Chris, you know what? It's nothing to be upset about because you know who did worse than that? AEK this morning, Olympiacos 6-0. And guys, if you're reading the caption on the show, three things certain in life: death, taxes, or Olympiacos smacking the absolute hell out of AEK. Liam, I want your thoughts real quick before we dive into it. It's just a thing. Olympiacos always seem to smack AEK, even two, 3 years ago with our absolute shocking seasons.
I will tell you something. They are a joke. This is seriously. What kind of season is this? They've fucking... sorry, I shouldn't swear. I'm animated.
No, swearing. Animated. That's what we want.
They've gotten out of the Conference League to FC Noah, who's got them battered like 7-0 by Chelsea from a goalkeeper scoring a goal in the qualifiers. They've managed to scrape their way to 2 points behind us in the Portofino with the help of referees. Without the help of referees, they're 10 points behind. And I'm not going to argue because I know Olympia, of course, has had many years where we won the Portofino back in the day with the referees' help. But I'm just saying that they're not a good side. They've played a decent team in the Kipolo, which is us. Forget about Favre this year. we're the only other decent side, and they've been absolutely battered. Not only have they been absolutely battered, but we put out our second or mother today. We put like Pascal Lakis, second choice keeper. Gunmore, fine. Bidola, like, fine, even though he's probably second choice defender as well. Costinha, second choice. Bruno comes in. Ortega's obviously our first choice, but makes his debut, second choice. You look in the midfield, you know. Danny Garcia has there, fine, they play enough football, we won't say that. Horta, he's definitely, I don't think, in our best 11. Maybe after today, there's a new thing to talk about, which we might talk about later, but he's not been in our best 11 since signing. No Musa Kiris, no Kostoulas. On the wings, we have Rodine again, who's obviously not our preferred player to be on that right wing. Maybe he is now with how bad some of our other wing options are. And then on the left wing, we had Palma, who, Martins probably starts over Palma. And we had Yaramchuk up front. We had maybe three or four players, maybe five, three or four, I'd say, that you go, they're starters. Like, they're starters. We've had such a rotated squad, and we have absolutely battered them. Like, it could have even been more. I'm not taking away that Ike maybe could have scored a goal or two, but it could have been more. They've been absolutely played off the park like it was nothing today. It was genuinely, like, I actually felt bad. It was genuinely embarrassing for them at a point because it was such a, like, it was just such a bad, sorry performance. And it sums up where that club, and I don't want to have digs at them because they've done well over the last few years in, you know, getting into Champions League and stuff. But where they are at the moment and the time of year that they're having, it's like they've got only the cup and the league to focus on. And they're just like, if we beat them on Monday in their own turf again, which I think we will, but, you know, maybe they might come out firing. It's just not good enough. Like, they should be a club who made Champions League a few years ago, pushing forward and going to that next step. And they've just gone backwards. And, you know, I know they're missing Martial and he's probably their best player and all that, but it was just embarrassing for them today. But let's talk about Olympiacos because we played unbelievable today. You know, as much as we're giving Ike shit, they're a decent side. But we showed that, you know, and our players showed that when they're called upon, they can come out and, you know, even if they haven't played that much football like a lot of the boys haven't, they can come out and deliver a performance like that. It was unbelievable football from the pressing, the directness that we were doing. Like, you know, there was two things. We were going direct when we had to. We scored a few goals like that. We pressed and scored a few goals. But there was also some controlled, patient build-ups where we looked really good as well, which we had a good mixture of football today. It wasn't just going direct that we've seen a lot, like a lot of long balls. It wasn't just, you know, like keeping the ball, not being able to create anything, which we've also seen. It was a good mix of going direct when we needed to and slowing the game down and, you know, building our way up when we needed to as well and pressing high and also letting them have the ball at times. It was a fantastic performance tactically as well. Mentally, but I got everything right today. Threw them off from the first minute. Great, well-deserved win, but I thought it was really well coached. It was just unbelievable the way we played today. The best I've seen us play in probably years. Unbelievable.
Beautifully said, Liam, and who would disagree with you right now? All right, everyone, thanks for joining. Pretty much wrapped it up, Liam. One thing I want to say, harping on, you said what you said about Ike. I can't help but feel after this, not so much Ike, but Panathinaikos and Bulk have regressed as well. Yeah, that's probably a bit of concern for the Greek league as well. But regardless of that, to smack second place in the league 6-0, like Allah, we're probably confident going into this one, but to come out of it 6-0, mate, all the players were superb. And I want to talk about one particular player that one probably no one's really talking about is Birola. He absolutely was gun at the back. Who, sorry?
Didn't he score?
No.
Not Birola. Outside the killer.
That was Palmer.
Palmer.
That's the name, sorry. Anyway,
Louise Palmer. Mate, I think I just want to talk about the season so far because we're actually at a bit of an awkward point because the players that so much didn't look great before the New Year's are looking really good now. And that also says with Yaremchuk. We were probably, I admit, I was probably quick to make my decision on him, but holy crap, he looked good today.
Can I just say something about Yaremchuk? I actually wanted to talk about him. I really think, and I think Dimitri was pretty adamant about this as well. We had a good discussion off stream the other week when we were recording. He has not been given the right opportunity at Olympiacos, just simply because El Garbi has been too good and too reliable.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You're not gonna.
He showed today that he should be playing more. He can play in a two striker formation with El Kabi as well if needed, like in the against the smaller teams where we want to be more attacking. But he also showed that he can play. There's going to be a lot of fixtures coming up now if we stay in the Europa League for a long way, which we hope to do. There's going to be a lot of fixtures coming up, and he'd be perfect to be using in the league and letting El Kabi, you know, rest for those big games, because he's got the quality. He's a good striker, and you saw today. Yeah. He's only been coming off for 10 minutes. He looked a bit shaky at the start. I think you remember he missed two or three good opportunities. But after that, what's it called? Mate. After he got his way in a bit and he like settled down a bit, that second finish, great, fantastic finish. The first goal, another, what's it called? What was his first goal? I forgot his first goal. Anyways, good positioning, finished it well, got the assist for Orta's second goal. He just needs a bit of time. You can't expect someone, and this is where the Greek fans and us Olympiacos fans, like especially in Greece, I feel like, are too like go too far. The poor guy has been coming off of 5-10 minute spells. What do you want him to do in 5-10 minute spells every game? Like honestly, he can't show us anything in 5-10 minutes every single game. Like you need a bit of time to settle in. Today he got that opportunity. He showed what a good striker is, and I think the criticism to him has been way too harsh simply because he's not been given the right opportunities. And today he finally showed.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. I also think, like, to justify it a little bit, it's not to say it hasn't happened in the past because it always happens, but we're coming off the success we had last season. I think people got a bit upset with how the transfers went in the last transfer window. Sorry, not the summer transfer window. But look, regardless, personally for me, back to what you said, sorry, before we move on. When Yaremchuk was missing the two or the one early opportunity he had, Medilibar, the bench were all supportive. And the second he scored, all the players, all the bench were around him. Like, if that does not speak levels where this locker room's at, if that does not speak where Medilibar has gotten these players at the past two seasons, mate, he is, and I'm saying it, the best coach with this club has ever seen.
The best coach.
And if he wins the cup and if he wins the league, he is by far the best coach this club has, even if he doesn't. To me, nothing comes close to him. Well, obviously, Valverde does and Pedro Martins is up there.
Well, there's a lot of old coaches.
There's a lot of older coaches as well. But what Medilibar is doing with his resources this season, unbelievable. Sorry, Liam, just one more point. The game where, for me, personally, that it really showed Boechi Strossi after the Nomada was against Panserraikos 4-0. That was just... We didn't look out of beat for 1 second, and even today we didn't. We're looking really good, and not to take our opponents in the Europa League lightly, which we'll touch up on soon, but they're not an opponent to take lightly, but... Surely you go in with a lot of confidence. You have to. You absolutely have to.
Just quickly, I really like that point you made about the using your mother well with the resources that he has. He showed that last year when he came in. He had an absolute mess of a team and he figured a way out to to somehow get his best players playing in Europe, and he understood that the league was going to be harder to win, so he rotated and we still had a run for the title. If you remember, we were in it for the last two or three games until we lost to Balka Tumba. What's it called? He's done fantastic. Coaches like that are proper coaches, that they get given a limited set of resources, not your coaches that get given, you know, billions of euros to spend. He's not been given too much, and he's done, you know, gotten the best out of every player, the young players. It's fantastic. And like you said, it's just unbelievable. I think I just want to say, make one more point. Not to take anything away from Mike, and obviously maybe we've been a bit too harsh, but none of these teams, like Panathinaikos and Balka, they're nowhere near our level at the moment. And like every time we play these teams, we look much better. Like even every game against Panathinaikos, we just look better. You know, the 0-0 draw in Osaka, the 1-1 draw in the Kipolo, we just look better. Like if anyone was going to win, it was going to be us. Like we just look a better side than all these main teams this year. And obviously, Ike's the closest to us. And I mentioned about the referee stuff. I don't even think they're the second best team in the league at the moment. But anyways. But we are just, like, today and just in general, we are so much better than all these teams. And that's a credit to Medley Bard, not anyone else, because he hasn't been able to, like, get it like this. And we've lost some big players, don't you forget, Podence, Fortunis, you know, some massive players, and he's still been able to get the team playing like this and get the club in this position.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. The other Bulk Bunner, they don't look good. They just don't look good. I think they've gone backwards. But for Nike, also, I have one thing now. They managed somehow to hold on to Ioannidis. And I know they're still in the Conference League. They got Fiorentina. But they look terrible. They look terrible in their matches. They look really bad. They're so soul dependent on Ioannidis. He's out of his depth. He's got F4 players around him. It's a shame because they were headed in the right way with Jovanovic as their coach.
Yeah, and they stuffed that up.
And it's gone real backwards. With Ike, look, they're competing with us in the league. Maybe this one match was a massive brain fart. Can't say they looked great in the league either, the last 3-4 matches either. But it's getting to that point of the season. And it's that point of the season where the lesser teams are starting to they find that they have nothing left to lose. The title race has become, you know, some teams drop off, and that's happening. That's really happening. And I think Olympiacos can do it this year.
Yeah, I think all these teams are really disappointed themselves this year. Like Ike, you know, they obviously. With Europe, they didn't play in Europe. They, as we said, they should be making a run for the league in the cup, and they're probably they're out of the cup now. If we beat them, it's gonna be hard for them to win the league. Like disappointing year, Bulk from winning the title, nowhere near the league this year, and they're out of Europe. But disappointing year for them. And you just mentioned Panathinaikos, disappointing year. I think you're right. Like obviously the league as a whole has gotten better, but a few clubs instead of going forward are just staying or going a little bit backwards. Except for us, we seem to be the only club sort of. Going forward at the moment.
I also think the clubs are too preoccupied with what we're doing. They're too busy worrying about Olympiacos. Look at Yokhalia. We copped it for 3 seasons straight. What did we do? We got to work, look at the youth, build a team, one conference league. Now look at us. Like we Marinakis will bounce back. You just got to trust in it. It's going to take time. Yeah. But
he copped a lot of hate, but to his credit, he got the academy right. He realized that we need to go for a bit of a younger approach.
But that's also Medili Bar's influence, don't forget.
Correct.
He came in saying, I want these amount of youngsters in the team, and you got to build them. And he's looking after them like that.
Yeah.
There's no issue with Muzakidis and Kostoulas. It's all right, you're playing a lot. Calm now. Calm.
Yeah.
You've got Garcia, SA, Stamenich. He's good. He's fucking. What a guy. Anyway, sorry, Liam.
Can I just say one thing with Ike today that annoys me a little bit about this about the league? They've got, I don't want to discredit anyone, but they've got the Haji Safi, the left back.
Oh, it's dog shit.
They've got, he's 35, 36. Yeah, he's not very good. And they've got a young Greek kid, Philios, on their bench, or, you know, I don't even know if he was in the squad today. We have to look for that, but. And they're playing a 35, 36-year-old, you know, Iranian bloke. Not that matters, but over, you know, a young Greek kid that's come through their academy. Like, surely at that point where they're just, like, he's not very good. You're just giving a young kid a chance because you never know what that young kid can become. Look at Tsimikas, a prime left-back example.
Even they're losing 5-0 Mantalos.
And Silulis, exactly. It's just, and it's just like, you know, like, you want to look at us. Look what a few academy kids have done to our team this year. Like we look another level from last year, even though we lost two of our best players. We brought two young academy kids in, and they're absolutely tearing it up. I think there's a lot for these other teams to be looking at. Maybe their academies aren't as strong, but there's a lot for these teams to be looking at the way we've approached this season. And you know, after losing your players, we could have gone out and spent big, but we're going to use some of the academy boys that did us the job then. It's become unbelievable.
That's it, man. And like it speaks levels that. At some point early in the season, we became dependent on it, 2 17-year-olds, which is wild. And Liam, I know you have to go very soon, but I want to talk about 3 players real quick.
Yep.
I want to talk about Orta, Palmer, and Velde. Now, what I have to say about Orta and Palmer is mostly Orta, right? How desperately we needed him.
Mm-hmm.
A player like him. Like, we were so desperate. Yeah. Like, you've seen the impact Chiquinho has had on games. You've seen the impact Chiquinho's had when he hasn't played games and it hasn't ended in a win. So having a player like that on the bench finally this year is really, really good. It advances our attacking prowess. Palmer has also come in and done that because Velde hasn't done that job. Now, what I want to talk about real quick with Velde is all the khalia happened with him. Madilibar came out saying he's flicked the switch in training. He came on against Panathinaikos for 5-10 minutes and actually looked good.
Mm.
We went to Porto. He was like a completely different player. He was at the level he should have been or eventually built up to early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't help but say that the last 2-3 games he's actually dropped in form. Well, what are your thoughts? I want you to tell me, because I don't think maybe you spoke about it with Dimitri, our new co-host. What are you thinking of Velde? Do you think it's sink or swim? What are you thinking?
Oh, it's a tough one. It's a tough one.
Because even today he came on and it felt like the tempo did drop until mm-hmm. Martins then came in.
Yeah, you know which game it looked really bad? Was it the bulk game that he came on and he looked... Did he start the bulk game? I can't remember. I think he did start the bulk game. I think he did.
I can't remember. What was the score in that one?
2-1, 2-1. The bulk game, the one we just had at Kareskaki. Wait, let me just see if he started.
I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure he did. I'm like 90% sure he started. Yeah, he started. He started. Mm. And I was just watching it. I was like... And I remember... I think he got taken off the 60th minute. And
yeah, he won that one.
I remember just thinking, what's it called? Like, he's just like underperforming like so massively this season, and because he was playing so bad, he was genuinely struggling out there in the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
Like genuinely struggling. He couldn't do a thing right, and it's not good because we spent a lot of money on him, and he's shown glimpses. The frustrating thing is he's actually shown glimpses of what he can do. Like he's shown that to us. And whether this is the wrong system for him, I actually think it is a little bit. I think this system that Medlibar plays relies on players that are really good 1v1 and have that sort of ability to create on their own rather than,
mm-hmm.
you know, being like, I don't know how to explain it, but like someone who's more like a Masudas, for example. Like he's obviously a winger, but he struggles to create things 1v1. He's more of a like passer. He'll drop back. He'll do some good things like, in the interplay, like the 1-2 touches, all that sort of stuff, but he can't dribble and create things on his own. That's sort of like Velde. Like Velde is a decent dribbler, but he struggles to, you know, what's it called? Like get past and beat the man and deliver some final product in like Martins does really well, Podens did really well. And they're the type of wingers that thrive on the Medlibar system. And I think that's sort of why we've seen Rodine play more wing this season, because he's also really good in those 1v1 dribbling and taking players on and whipping the ball in. And, you know, I just don't think Velde fits the system. I think he's more of a player that's really good, like interplay. Like he has nice little touches. He does like nice little fluffy things that are good. But he struggles to beat a player. Like he generally does. Like he's a decent dribbler, but he struggles. He struggles, and that's why I think he's struggling in this team at the moment. And yeah, I don't know if he fits the system. Like we've seen like Martins do so well. We've seen Podence do so well. We've seen Rodinei this season doing so well. Even Fortunis had the ability, you know, to go past the player, but he relied more on his passing skills, which Velde doesn't have that sort of vision that Fortunis had do well out wide. Even Kostoulas, he's a great dribbler and can get past the man as well. These players who have thrived on the wide areas with Medlibar. I don't know if Velde has that. And I also think he's like, you know, he's obviously doing things that are unacceptable, like just losing the ball in like blatant areas, just doing, you know, bad things. And yeah, I don't know where he goes from here, because Palmer's come in and oh my, against Panseri, of course, unbelievable. Today, unbelievable. And he has shown that he needs to be started in this team as the left winger with Martins on the right, or, you know, Kostoulas or whatever it is. But he needs to be that, if he's not starting, he needs to be that next choice winger in the side, because he knows how to get past play. He knows how to deliver that final ball. And he knows how to finish that ball. And that's something that we've been missing from probably the whole season since we lost Fortunis and Podence. and have a look at the output, man. He started two games. I think he started against Ennis. I think he did. Scored four, started today, scored six, and he was a big major part of a few of the goals today. And yeah, I think he's unbelievable. I think Valdez is in big trouble because I think Palma is much better than him. And then I think Costulas is much better. And I think Martins is much better. And it's hard to fit him in at the moment because he's not showing enough.
Well, I think you pretty much summed it up. I think, it's hard to pinpoint what's going on. Lack of confidence. Can't complain about the game time now because he's having it.
Yep.
I don't know. Too much pressure on him. I agree with what you say. The expectation out of him, he's just not that type of player. He resembles Masuras a little bit, whereas he's got the pace to break through, but Masuras managed to just get behind the defense a bit better than what Velde can. Yeah. Atijo sometimes as well is a bit unlucky, but look, Palmer's come in and look at the impact he's had in 2-3 games.
Yeah.
Martins came on, game changer, assist to Okabi.
That's the type of player you want to be bringing on. You know, defense is tired. What's it called? Someone that can just run out, and that's where it suits Medley Bar's system. Someone that can just run out a player and cause problems in the 60th, 70th minute. And Valde doesn't have that. That's why when he comes on, he struggles because he doesn't have that like ability to just, you know, cause problems 1v1 and whip in a nice ball like Martins did today.
So what do you think? And we go on to next season, transfer window opens. What are you doing with him? Are you keeping him? Are you selling him? Loaning him?
It's I got no idea. Like
Chris, also you think
loan? Nah.
Yeah. No.
Big Liam, you're leaning towards Adeya.
I think you just get rid of him unless he's showing something for the rest of the season because. You know what? For what he's doing at the moment, I'd rather have Papa Cornello, who's a similar sort of player on the wing, playing like the
angry
thing to what he does.
And it was good to see him come on.
And he's young. Yeah, he's young. If he's going to be having that sort of impact, what he's doing at the moment, you might as well be bringing the young kid on that's going to improve and get better over time. So that's the way I see it. But look, he might turn it around. There's still plenty of games and he'll get opportunities still because we have lots of games coming in fast. We have games every 4 or 5 days with the cup, the league, and the thing. So the Europa League, so he'll be getting, you know, his chances. So he's got some time to prove himself. But yeah, if he doesn't start, turning it around, he's in trouble. And I don't know if he has a future at the club, especially if Medley Bar's here. Because as I said, I think he struggles with the system that we play.
Yeah,
agreed. For those of you joining live, please. Ask us anything in the comment section or your thoughts. Join the discussion. Chrisos, we kind of forgot about you. Sorry, mate. Tell us your thoughts about this morning's game, 6-0, the new players, just everything. Especially Valde, if you want to touch up on that.
It was a big shock. I didn't expect that result at all. You know, obviously, I expected us to win, but I wasn't expecting a 6-0. I think that just shows the calibre of how we are this year compared to all the other teams. I feel like they are comparing to us. You know, Ike went and got Eric Lamella and Anthony Martial, watched our Premier League players to kind of like one up us. It's sort of like, oh, but we've got Lamella, we've got Martial. Who do you guys have? So I think too many Greek clubs are focusing on comparing to Olympiakos rather than just trying to fix their own problems within the club. Especially, you know, Panathinaikos and Balk. They're too busy on that rather than fixing themselves. But I think the result was a great result. It was good to see Ayub come off the bench and get a goal as well and keep the streak up. And it was just good to see a lot of other players play. I think Spanish coaches like Medlabar are good with that. They're good at making a system where every player can play, but still creating it that they still get to play the same way and get the results the same way. I was actually watching the Netflix documentary with Medlabar at Sevilla, and I think it was a huge loss for them. For us to grab a coach like that is, I think, great for us. And I think Marinakis, all his clubs, Forest in the Premier League, Olympiakos in the Greek League, are doing really well. And I think Marinakis has found the proper ingredients onto how to make a football club and how to run it properly. Because not only drew to Arsenal this morning, coming third, and Olympiakos just put off a result like that, and could even go further in the Europa League. And you never know, we could even win that too and go from Conference League winners to Europa League winners. I mean, it is a big shot, but it's not impossible. Bodø/Glimt, we'll get into it later. I mean, Bodø/Glimt, we can't take them lightly, you know. But I think there is a real chance if we play how we played against Ajax, we can score 12 against Bodø/Glimt. That's just my philosophy.
Well, I do agree with you. Mate, if we're playing the way we did today, why not? We could surely beat Bodø/Glimt. They are not a team to take lightly. Norway's not too far behind us in the coefficient either. We've had some players from there come over, and they do have a good team. It's one of those things, man, in Europe where sorry. It's one of those things in Europe you can't take any team lightly, especially at this stage. Like we saw in the group stage as well, some surprise wins. And what you said, Chris, also about Marinakis and the group that he's building with the clubs, it's all a thriving. Not so much Rio Ave. I think there's a lot of work there to do. They're pretty much a lower-end team, but they're surviving. And I'm sure he'll get them up and running. But the way Olympiacos and Nottingham Forest are going, it's good to see that he's putting in the care. And obviously without his purchase of Nottingham Forest, we wouldn't have the money, we wouldn't have the attraction, we wouldn't have obviously the success from last year without it. Wenzel Dino, thanks for joining again.
Thank you. He actually just had surgery today as well on his ankle.
Speedy recovery, Wenzel, mate. All the best, mate.
That's it.
Yes, speedy recovery.
Thank you for the comment.
Yeah, back to Europa League. Liam, we got Europa League coming up on Friday, and I know you're pumped to talk about a few things before you head off.
Yeah. I'll quickly talk about the game as I have to go. But what does that mean?
You have the cabra. There you go. That's what it means. Two headers is you have. I don't know what la cabra, but
before you
thanks, Hannah Diddy. So
Yanaki's here with us.
Oh, I am the goat. Thank you. I just remembered. Yeah.
He said he'll be a second. So, Liam, quickly chat about
I'll talk. Just quickly. Look, it'll be a good game. We have Ajax first that we should obviously probably talk about as well. That's a big game, obviously. Mm-hmm. So, it'll be interesting how he goes about two 11s that we're going to be putting out. Obviously, what's it called? Obviously it's going to be tough because it's a massive game in the Plataforma. It's a massive game in the Europa League. We want to be winning both games. Which one's more important? I don't know. But both massive games. So it's going to be interesting what kind of 11s, who he rests, who he plays in what game. There'll be a lot of analysis of the opponents of the both teams and deciding which players suit better against what team to play against. Obviously, there'll be a lot of players that play both, but there'll have to be some rotations. It'll be interesting. So the 8 game is very important if we win. I think we're very, very strong to win the title from there. If we lose, it's right back open and, you know, anything can happen. So that's a big game. And, with Bodø/Glimt, we saw what they did in the Europa League, huge comeback. Anything can happen in this competition. All these teams are, you know, good enough to beat us, but we're obviously good enough to beat any team in this competition as well. And I think we have a good opportunity. We've seen our draw. Even the teams that are supposed to be the favourites, like Tottenham and Manchester United, are they really that much better than us? Like, are they really? United, I tell you, Tottenham, I think are a bit like as a Tottenham fan in the Prem, although Olympiacos is my mother, but you know, following Tottenham, they've seemed to turn a corner with having all their injuries back, played decent against City this morning, but again, we can easily beat them. You know, they're nothing too special.
They're missing a lot of players.
A lot of players, but they will have them all back by the time we play them. But still, like, you know, we can still beat all these teams. And yeah, back to the Bodø/Glimt game because one step at a time. But look, we're gonna have to. Is the first leg at home? I think it is. Yeah, no, it's away first leg.
Oh yeah, away 7 a.m. which is
away. Yeah, away. Yeah. So you know, we go there away. We obviously do what we did. You know, we've been in this position before. We played some big teams away. First legs in the Conference League, a very obvious Aston Villa.
You can't help but think this is Medili Bar's niche right now coming up.
He's got the experience.
Like, knockout football.
The players have the experience. We know what it needs to do. We know what we need to do. You know, we go out there, we put a decent, put a strong performance, but don't give too much away from home, which is what we did last year. And maybe some cracks will open up depending on who we're playing. And then you go at home with the effort on your side. You're a good chance to win if you get a draw or a win away. And you finish the job at home. And that's what we need to be looking for. And I think we should be favourites to beat Bodo and Glimt, especially the way we're playing at the moment.
They've literally got two names.
We can't underestimate them. We can't. There's a lot of fans at the moment that are getting very up on the course, which is good. And it's good that we're in a position that we can start to do this. We haven't been in a position like this in a while where we're going into a Vropi games in the round of 16 and going like, yeah, we should be winning this game. It's good that we're in this position, but we also need to realise that anything can happen. It's football. And what's it called? And all these teams are still really good teams. They're really good teams. And, you know, although we think we're better than them, they're good teams. So let's not get over ourselves. Let's go out there, make sure we do the job, not put that extra pressure on the players. Because I think that's another thing that was getting them over the line last year, the fact that, you know, that also the underdogs, like especially against Aston Villa, all those they just wanted it. Like, you know, they were hungry for it. The Maccabi game, we're down 3-0. Like the hunger that we showed, like, you know, it was like they're fighting for something. We want to keep that same fight going into the knockout. So that's my opinion about it. I hope within, you know, two games, every game we're going to be playing from here on in to the end of the season is going to be a very important game, which is going to make squad selection very tough for Medley Bar and how he approaches everything. So it'll be interesting. And pretty much, man, like, obviously, there's a few games where here in Australia where at 3 a.m., 4 a.m., you know, you see you're versing a set of Tripolis at home.
Yeah.
Yanni's in. You see, you know, you don't wake up for it. But every game we'll be waking up for at the moment because it's every game's important. And on that note, I'm going to leave, but I'll leave you with Yanni.
Bye, Liam.
Thank you very much, Liam.
Goodbye, everyone. Like, have a good night.
Thank you.
Bye, Yanni. I'll see you soon, Yanni. You're on mute, man.
You're muted, mate.
Damn. Okay.
Hello, Yanni.
It's been a long day. Allow me.
Yes, man.
All right. See you,
Liam. Thanks for joining us.
How's it going, boys?
I just want to. I've had this ready. I waited for Liam to stop ranting. Going on. Fill paragraph.
He said at like 7:45, he had to go, and he just wouldn't stop.
Yeah, it's 8 o'clock.
Damn.
Before you go, Chris. Sorry. Welcome, Yanni. Thanks for joining. It's been a while.
Thanks for having me.
Sorry, Ella. I just wanted to go on a bit of a throwback and talk about the last time we beat Ike 6-0, which was in 2011, on the 3rd of March. A few days before Greek Independence Day, the team, I wanted to name a few of the key players and just compare. I mean, not compare, just go on a bit of like a nice nostalgia trip before we talk about Bodo Glimt first. You know, we had Rafik Javor, Kevin Morales, Jose Holobas, Avram Papadopoulos, one of the world's best ever keepers, Ergo Pardo. We had Nikopolidis, an old Nikopolidis on the bench. And we had... We also had another Moroccan, Jaoud Zaïre, not as good as our other Moroccans.
Jaoud Zaïre, what a tank!
Yeah,
so he was a freaking baller, that guy.
I just wanted to go on a bit of a throwback session, just let you know that there are a few players on here like El Arabi that.
Chris, is Abdoun on there? Abdoun or Ramadan?
No, I think he was a season or two.
Dudu's on there. Yeah, I think it was
Dudu.
I think it was Dudu for us, but he's there.
I'm trying to think. 11.
Okay.
Man, let me tell you.
Do you want to have a guess? I've got it right here. I have the 11. You can guess if you want.
I want to guess the lineup. So you said Urko Pardo.
Yep.
Torosidis.
I don't know what their positions are. I just know
where they are. No, that's all right. All right. So Torosidis?
No Torosidis.
Fuck.
No Torosidis, really.
Was Melberg there?
From what country is he? Yes. He's got the same name as the guy from Frozen.
Okay. Avram.
Yep.
Holobas. Avram Papadopoulos. Modesto? Yep. Was he in there? Modesto?
Yep. Francois was in Modesto. Francois.
Fejsa, whatever the fuck is that.
From what country? Where's he from?
F-E-J-S-A, something like that.
That's a throwback. He's not there afterward. Croatian or Serbian. I know exactly. I think everybody you're saying is the season after.
Yeah, it was. Can't remember. Keep going. Was Oscar there?
Oscar, there's no Oscar here.
No, not the Chelsea one.
I know.
If Torosidis wasn't the right back, who would have been right back?
Zevlakal?
No Zevlakal.
Who was the right back?
Petfa Davis, maybe coming up because he was there at that
time. No, Petfa Davis. No.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. Yeah.
Oh, Ramadal, he was on the bench.
What a throwback that guy was.
Ramadal, you given up? I can tell you the rest of the lineup.
No, I don't want to give up. This is a trip down memory lane.
We need to figure out the striker because I know it's not Mitroglou because that's...
It was Djibril.
It was Djibril. Yeah. Okay.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a few ones on here I've never heard of, so I don't know if that helps, but...
2004.
Yes, a few South Americans here. And think of what they speak in... what a lot of countries speak in South America. That should give you... There's a few of them too.
South America?
Oh, Ibagaza. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Ibagaza. Yeah. Number seven.
Surely not Galetti.
Galetti, yeah, that's probably it.
No, Ibagaza there. That's only South American. The rest are Spanish.
Pablo.
Yes, David Fuster. Pardo.
Pablo something.
Pardo Cypriot, and for some reason he became Cypriot. But anyway.
Regardless, man, what a trip down memory lane that was. Who was the right back?
You forgot Albert Riera and Yannis Maniatis, mate. The guy that scored from halfway.
Oh, Maniatis.
I didn't think it'd be Maniatis.
And Kevin Morales.
Did he start out as a right back or something?
Kevin Morales.
Was Maniatis the right back?
Kevin Morales.
Chris, sorry. Read out the starting 11.
Well, okay, I'll just go from top to bottom. Then I think Javor, David Fuster, Jose Holobas, Ariel Ibagaza, Yannis Maniatis, Olof Melberg, Kevin Morales, Francois Modesto, Avram Papadopoulos, Rafael Ergo Pardo Goas, and Albert Riera. That was
Maniatis would have been the right back.
Maniatis at right. I mean, I guess at the end, yeah. CDM to
I can't believe Nico Politis is there.
That's crazy. Oh my God, on screen, mate. It is on screen, mate.
That's pretty funny.
You need to color your hair green, mate. Yanni.
All
right. Thanks for that, Chris. That was actually bringing back some memories.
I'm glad you enjoyed that.
Let me tell you.
We won the league by 2 points, I think. We won the league by 13. Sorry. I give it a buzz. Panathinaikos came second. And Olympiakos Volos came fifth.
Yeah, they got done for match fixing.
Oh, yeah, that was there. Jesus. Crazy.
They were killing it. They were killing it.
There was Gergira here and Ergotelis.
Wow, they're gone.
And Iraklis, 1908, Xanthi, and Kavala.
She's gone, yeah.
Wow.
Another Olympiakos team?
Maybe Gani could explain it.
Volos now?
There's still Olympiakos Volos. Right?
Basically, there's a bunch of teams called Olympiakos in Greece. And it has some other meaning. It's not like something only one team uses. It's like saying Sporting, and then there's 1,000 Sportings. But if you say Sporting in Portugal, you mean Sporting Lisbon. It's kind of like that. People did say they were associated, in terms of they were dealing with each other. But they say that about a lot of teams. But no, there's no actual relation with Marinakis or Olympiakos and Olympiakos Volou.
There's three ammonias in Cyprus, actually more, but yeah. is Ajax in Cyprus, is Olympiacos in Cyprus, like IELTS.
Aris. Yeah, exactly. Olympiacos in Cyprus. No relation, though.
Is Olympiacos in Cyprus, yep. There you go. All right, shall we talk about Bordeaux? Trent Alexander-Arnold with the two names, Bordeaux Glint.
Well, Yanni, I want to touch up on your thoughts about the I game soon. We were talking about the Europa League, and one thing I want to point out as well, what you said, Chris, about Olympiacos and just why this club feels so goddamn special right now. It's, you said Olympiacos could even go on to win the Europa League.
Yeah.
The way the club is right now, Yanni, maybe you could agree with me, but like, does that not like actually resemble now? Does it not? Do you not say to yourself, like, fuck this? We can, I have a feeling we can.
Yeah. I know what you're, I think, with what you're saying, I think, we really are in the mentally bad era. This is not going to be just someone, a coach that came and went, or a good coach, or a good time period. This is going to be marked as the mentally bad era. This is the era that deliver the first European trophy, and I think because of that, man, we believe that we can win a Europa League. Okay, maybe not a Champions League, definitely not.
Or if we had the players, season. Why not?
Hey, if we had the players, but the thing is, like,
of course, we can win the Champions League.
Well, not this season, Chris. So it's a bit tough this season, mate.
It's gonna be, it might be hard this year, but we're not really in
this year. That's what I meant, like, definitely not this year.
Talking about when we're in it. Kabul can get to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, that's different. That's different.
Yeah. Let the man talk, Chris. Let the man talk.
Sorry, I won't be Liam and go on tangents. Go.
Oh, so annoying, that guy. Anyway, no. I think when you have such a winning manager, I think when Valverde was there, he wasn't the coach we know and he is right now. We brought a winner to come win us a trophy. He did that, obviously, exceeded our expectations. And I think, as CJ said before, he's a cup manager. He's a cup specialist. And the Europa League is a cup. Any European competition is a cup. So, yeah. So it's easy. So it's easy to win it, though. Like, for him, like, it's his... I'm so tired. I can't even think. It's his bread and butter. Let's say
it's his. We were saying it was his speciality. Niche. That's his speciality.
Bread and butter. Good job.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm learning.
Nah. Thank you. Second language. That was good too.
Yeah. Nah. And
I muted him so you could talk, Yanni.
That's crazy. Nah. And I was gonna say, because you told me about the 6-0 today. Man, it should have been 7, honestly. Like, I don't know. It's an embarrassment at the club. We should have easily scored 7, but we'll take 6, it's fine. Yeah, could have, honestly. But you know what it is, though? Like, it's actually so alarming for Ajax. I think if Almeida doesn't win the league, it's more likely he's not going to. It's done for him. I think then their new president needs to, like, hire someone else, and it's going to be a lot of pressure to bring in a guy, because you got a team that just lost out on the league by 2-3 points on the final day, that now got battered 6-0, something that hadn't happened for 14 years. And the year it happened, 2011, the year after, Ike was relegated due to financial troubles. So the step back is insane that they took with all that investment and stuff. So I feel like there's going to be riots if Ike next year doesn't perform, because I think this year is almost done for them.
Well, I mean, there were calls for Almeida after his Conference League slip up. There were calls for him to get sacked then, and who knows, we might wake up tomorrow hearing that he's gotten sacked.
It is possible.
We've seen crazier things in this league.
We have. Like,
if they're gonna bounce back next season, they have to question his future. Like, I don't know. We'll leave. Sorry.
I'll take Eric Lamela and Anthony and Martial from them if they don't.
Well, Martial's doing decent for him, considering. Lamela.
He's okay.
He's okay. I would have taken him over Willian, that's for sure.
Yep. Yeah. Back to Fulham. How do you be terrible in Olympiacos and go back to Fulham? Like, how does that make sense?
Is he back at Fulham?
Is he back at Fulham? Yeah. I thought he went to Brazil.
No. I'm going to search that up.
This guy just lives in South London, doesn't he?
Apparently, apparently it was reported his wife wasn't happy in Greece. She wanted to be in
England. Really?
So she's going to go to...
Shit. He's at Fulham. What the hell?
He's going to go to cold England.
That's exactly it. So I've never seen anyone say, I'm not happy with Greece, and have the money to live in the country. I'm not happy to be waking up with weather, beaches near me, fresh food. I want England.
Beaches.
Okay.
Yeah, have beaches Europe every day. Let's go to have a go to England, miserable, you know, Melbourne. We can have gyros every day.
Go to Chris, what are you talking about, mate?
William's wife being unhappy with Greece. Like, how can you be unhappy with Greece and want to go to England?
Like Hirsch said, Greek meat every day, basketball.
Olympiacos are playing good in the basketball.
They are playing very well, good.
Evan Fournier is killing it too.
He is. They did lose the cup, but we talked about that last episode, so never mind. We signed a new. They signed a new. What you call it? A new guard. Did anyone see that?
Point guard. Which one?
Point guard. I can't remember his name. Let me.
Play NBA.
Find him quickly. No. So they got him from his last team was Maccabi Tel Aviv.
Oh.
And.
Yeah.
Maybe not for the guy. I'm pretty sure he's American. But but I can't remember his name now. Wait, give me.
American.
No one sees it because Walkup is injured. All right. And oh my god, because Walkup is injured and we need a new defensive guard.
That pretends to be Greek.
To be honest, at least he honors the shirt. That's all I have to say to that.
Yep, good. And I'm with you.
CJ, do you know the guard that they signed? Because I can't find it.
The only thing I know about the basketball team is the name.
Olympiacos
of the club. That's it. I don't watch it.
That's wrong. It's pretty good this season, honestly. I strongly recommend it. But this season is make or break, so if they don't win EuroLeague, it's...
Is it Saban Lee?
Not looking to.
Is what? Saban Lee? Saban Lee.
I think. Yeah. It might be.
See?
Knowledge. Saban had it on the roster. Wow.
Yeah, Saban Lee.
Ball knowledge is insane.
Yep. Well, he does not look like a Lee. Wow.
Anyway, I think Yanni, we're gonna wrap it up. We're gonna talk about We'll do something we haven't done in a while, and that's player ratings. I'm gonna name a player, and we'll just talk about our thoughts on them.
That's not
this game.
Are you giving rating out of 10? Based on the game what? Against Ike.
Okay, against Ike.
Based on what they played.
Yeah, okay.
Pascal Galakis.
I mean,
Yanni.
I thought Galakis was in
so. 10, I guess. Like, he didn't. He didn't have anything to do, but like,
yeah,
he did what he's supposed to do, I guess. Yeah, I'll give him a 10.
6.
Yeah. I'll give him a 7. I'll give him a
really?
7. He was captain, so he must have had, you know.
Guys, he didn't concede.
Yeah, but he didn't have to do anything.
But, like, so he didn't have to do much.
Why give him a 10?
He could have done a carries. Right. He could have done a carries out of nowhere.
We are talking about that.
Yeah. All right, Costinha.
Give me.
I'm going to give him a 7.5. Who's this?
I'm going to give him a 7.
I was going to say 6.5, but I'll just round it up to 7 since you guys all won.
Oh, nice. Thank you. Pirola, I'm giving a fucking 9. He was a fucking tank.
Yeah, he scored that bang. I'm giving him a 9.5. He gets half because he's Argentinian. So there you
Pirola,
go.
Not Orta. Yeah, Pirola. Pirola, the defender.
Oh, no.
Pirola. I'm giving him a 9. The vice class.
Where's he from?
Fucking hell, Chris. Chill, man. Anyway, Pirola, I'm giving a 9. Just absolute gun at the back.
I'm going to give him an 8.
Okay. David Carmo.
8.
Yanni?
Boys, it's really hard to, like, fault this defense with anything. I'll give him a 9 as well. Like, I don't know what...
They were just standing around for 90 minutes because they didn't have to do anything.
I can't pronounce his name.
Oh, the Nigerian?
Yeah.
The Nigerian? I can pronounce it. Let me get a few.
I'll go on.
I can do it. I'm going to make my African brothers proud. Give me one sec. I'll get a few. Let me see. Onyemachi. No, Onyemachi. Onyemachi. Bruno Onyemachi.
I'll take
him. I'll give him a 7. I'll give him a 7.7.
Okay, so Bruno, what do we give Bruno?
I'm going to give him a 7. 7.5.
I'm
going to
give him a 7.7 because that's what
he had. Had a pretty good start. Looks solid. Needs a game time, obviously, but it was good to see.
Like what club did we get him from?
No idea.
Rio Ave or something like that.
Rio Ave,
something like that.
In Portugal.
Yeah, in Portugal. Yeah, it's their last right now, though. So, I'll give him an 8 just because, like, this was his first derby in Greece. Boa Vista. We got him from Boa Vista. I'll give him an 8 because first derby. Again, didn't have much to do, but, you know.
But he's Nigerian, so he gets an extra point. It's okay.
Okay.
Fucking hell. All right, moving on to the essay. I'll give him a 7.
I'll give him a
7.5.
6.5.
I'm going to give everyone a 7.5 at this rate.
And I'm with you. I'll give him a 7.5 as well.
Garcia? I'm going to give him a 6.5.
It's okay.
I'm going to give him a 7.5. Garcia is his last name as well. So he gets an extra half.
I'll give him 6.5 as well.
All right. Rodinei up top, right wing. I think he did pretty good there. 8.
8 for the passion. I love his passion for the club, so 8.
Hey, I'll give him 8.5.
Oh, 0.5. One upping us, I say. Half upping us.
Yeah.
Andre Orta.
I mean, 9.
Fuck it. 9. 10. Fuck it.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
What more can you ask for?
No, I'm giving my 10 to one other person.
Luis Palma.
Yeah, he's getting a 10.
10.
Because he's from Argentina, so he gets an extra ranking from rating.
He's not from Argentina.
Isn't he some sort
of Spanish? Honduras.
Oh, Honduras even better. 10.5. I don't know. I saw because the score had the flag, but like it didn't have anything in the middle. So I was like, wait, is it Argentina or is it Honduras?
Wow.
Didn't show me the stars. Anyway, yeah, he gets a 10.5 because he's Honduran.
You got to admire the non-bias.
Yaremchuk. You know what? Yaremchuk, I'm giving the fucking 10 because he's earned it. I don't give a shit.
He's a 10.
I just love him. I have a love for him. I know I hated him like 2 months ago, but I love him now.
Why does he get an 8?
What about the players that came on?
We'll get there if you stop rambling about fucking flags. All right, so fucking Martins. He came on, looked better than Velde has the entire time he's been here. He's getting an 8.5.
8.5.
What do you reckon? And he assisted on pretty cool. Assisted El Kabi. Stamenich, I don't know. I feel like he's. I never see him on the field. But 6.5? 5. Wow.
6.
No, he didn't do anything.
This one, I want your take on Yanni. Christopher Velde.
Absolute 10. I think he did everything he needed to do. Ran all the correct spots. All the correct spots. I think absolutely busted. Absolute 10. No, but on the real, 6.
On the real.
He did doing nothing really well. Ayoub Elkhabi.
Oh, 10 as well.
I give him an 8. Got a goal. Didn't do a hell of a lot. Yanni, do you know any updates on him? What his injury, anything like that?
On who, Elkhabi?
Yeah.
Is he injured? Why is he injured?
Well, he came off injured, but...
That's a weird way to spoke, Christopher.
I didn't see too much about it, to be honest. I saw that there was some... I think it was something minor, but that's all I know. I knew that he just couldn't continue. That's it.
Yeah. Hopefully it's nothing bad because I'll cry myself to sleep. Papa Canelos. NA. Can't really.
He played for like...
Absolute.
For 8 minutes or something.
But I'll give him a 3.
I'll give him a 10 because he didn't concede. So... That's just the difference. Like, if the defense doesn't concede, like, it's automatic.
he didn't even play enough to even be given a rating.
Okay, then 5. Well, five.
He would have been perfect, started.
In the middle. He did perfect to come on and come back off. So 5.
He did a good sprint.
He could have
from the bench.
No mistakes in the whole game. No errors leading to goal. 5.
Beautiful. Anything else?
One game, no goals conceded. That's good. Rating coach, Medili Ba, 10 million out of 10.
I give him 1 million.
I'll give him maybe a 9 because, you know.
Oh, my God.
He could have broken the record. Could have broken the record.
Yeah, it would have been. Over 2 games, he could be 10 nil.
11. Yeah, but like... He's on thin ice, let's just say that. Like, he should
have won by... He's on the verge of getting the sack, mate.
Yeah, he's not looking too good for him, but...
Imagine that, he gets sacked because he didn't win 7-0.
Is that the record, 7?
No, I don't know. It's just because they've done it.
Don't worry. Ike is playing last goal wins next game, don't worry.
Yeah.
Imagine that was an actual rule. Oh.
Well, I mean, if you win 1-0, it's the last goal won. Anyway, lads, thanks for joining. I reckon that's a wrap.
Always.
To everyone watching, thank you very much for joining. Please like, subscribe, follow us on all our socials.
Comment, share. To your dead auntie, your dead uncle, your dogs, your cats, everyone.
All right, I think we're going to wrap all it up. All right.
See you. That is the end. Bye.
See ya.